genèveactive.ch.
Without Sanctuary, it's an exhibition here in Arles, and it's not without the duty of memory, the duty of history. How do you come in touch with these various sources, James Allen?
We have to look all over the country for them, because they're very rare, because so many of the families were shamed as the generations went on and destroyed them. So we do a lot of things, from advertising in magazines and papers to going around to shows and passing out flyers to let people know that we're desperately looking for these photos.
What was your starting desire in doing this work, in fact, because you rebuild identity, you bring back humanity in these bodies?
Well, the first thing was that we didn't know anything about it, and we got our first image and we showed it to people in our hometown, and nobody could tell us what it was. And when we finally did learn a couple years later, it was a killing that took place within 20 minutes of our home, and yet no one could identify it. It was a well-known killing. And then when we found a second one, we realized that there were more of these, and that the nation, the country, had oppressed the history. And so that kind of made me mad, and we started looking for them to see how many there were.
What strikes me a lot is that there's a deep intimacy between history and intimate history. Many of these images come from private photo albums, family albums. By way of illustration, one of them, somebody write down a cross and says it was for a barbecue. So this is your vision about this private history, in fact, crossing through generation, because many people are proud of these.
This may seem unbelievable, but just last year I was talking to a man, and he had a boundary line dispute between his property and a black man next door. And this white man told me that the black man's house burned down and killed the black man. Then he told me that his dog went over and had some cooked nigger. And this is a year ago. So this kind of violence and intimacy, as you say, this was these were two neighbors. It's embedded in the American mind, and it's going to take a very long time, if ever, to weed that out.
Many women and children were also angered by way of the situation in Oklahoma. There's this mother with her child hanged on a bridge. Could you tell us more about this public execution of women and children?
Well, there's far fewer photographs of women, because the killers, which were in large numbers, realized how indefensible it was to kill these black women and their children. So what they did do, though, was that they killed them just the same. Women and children were killed when they couldn't find the man they wanted. They would kill whoever was in the house, or like a hunt if they were in groups and were going through the woods, and they would just shoot and kill people.
It's a long history, but it's an historical origin with the name of Lynch, in fact, and this pratic extrajudiciary execution, but also execution after trials.
There was no such thing as vigilante justice in the United States. Every county, every city, no matter how small, had a court system. And any black man or woman would be dealt with very harshly in the court system. These people wanted something more. And very, very often, these people did not commit any crime. They had a better piece of land that the next door neighbor wanted. They were doing well and had a better buggy, were putting the white people to shame. They stood up for their wives. They fought back. They didn't just take what the white man was dishing out. So they were killed. And then they were accused of a crime to cover up the killing in the national press. So the important thing is, this word lynch really has no significance. It's just a way that white people could talk about the story and without having shame.
Or the postcard for the propaganda. In fact, the atmosphere is strikingly like a carnival, like a feast. It's also a ritual of initiation for young white children. How do we come to have that kind of feast atmosphere in public execution?
I think that part is common in many countries, but I think one of the essential things in our history, American history, is that everyone participated. They knew that this was going to happen, so these spectators went not just as witnesses, but in a sense as perpetrators. And in that, they felt like they had, that they were part of this happening. And like you said, young children would dig through the ashes to get bones and teeth that they could swap with other children for. And there's histories of people in town, of passing through town, would talk about how all the citizens in town had pieces of body parts, and that they were walking through town with glee on their face as if they, you know, were some royalty.
And what it strikes also is that black people executed are reduced to animals, to beasts, to piece of meat, but also something of a devilish thing, an element which has to be purified by fire, taking out from the purity of the white race. How do you see that kind of purification through a ritual?
I believe that there were rituals involved with this, and in a sense, they're both pagan and Christian. The church had a lot to do with this continuing. But one of the things about the fire that's essential is this was the most painful way to die. And there's one instance known, and I'm sure there's other, where they laid the man down on the ground, prostrate, so that they could burn him from his feet up to his head and have it last as long as they could. So this was about inflicting pain and sadism.
During the public visit of this exhibition, you often draw parallels with the actual situation and the treatment of black people by white cops. By way of illustration, we all recall the Rodney King affair. But what is the place of that kind of mass murdering and public execution in Barack Obama's discourses, which are mainly written by white counselors?
For me, of course, we all have hope because we never even dreamed that we would have a black president. And for me, the most important thing is, more than the presidency, because he's a politician, is that we have a black family in the White House. And that's just a very moving thing. Now, Barack Obama's hands will be tied in lots of ways. The laws are still written by white men, and they will be for the benefit of white men. So there's just a lot of work to do to turn that around and make sure that the laws are written by everyone.
In the United States, there is perhaps the opportunity to have trials about trade slavery. What is about that kind of execution? Is there a justice that is possible nowadays, outside memories and history, a justice for these families and of victims?
Well, we think that the most important thing could happen is that these families get their farms back, that the cities pay for what they did to them. And there's a movement, it's very slow, but that this should happen. One thing that is happening is there are memorials being built in different towns and plaques so that people will know what happened. But the most important thing is that these families were lost. When a man was killed, he was the breadwinner of the family. So the family was split up. They went all over the nation. They fled. The communities fled. And they left everything behind. So in a way, they all became broken in some way.
And last question, at this epoch, postcards were often used in order to bring news, for example, in shipwreck, mine accidents. Is this also that kind of news that spread out from... You talk about a person who has sold 20,000 postcards, becoming very rich. Was the press at this epoch, and I will talk lastly about the withdrawal, a few words about the resistance towards this execution, because there's a part of the exhibition.
So we're talking about the press, the formal press. Well, the press at times even predicted there will be a lynching and participated in getting a crowd up. There's one instance known where the journalist hurried the crowd along so that he could write the story and get back to his paper by a deadline. The press all over the country wrote about this because it was so sensational that it made news and people bought newspapers. So the press had a very deliberate hand in these killings.
And for the resistance, the withdrawal, because there's a part of the exhibition?
There was a tremendous resistance, mostly personal. I have to say that I really don't have any evidence that the resistance stopped the lynchings. Genève Active.ch